Okay, so the shiur is about Kabbalat Shabbat and what it tells us about the nature of Shabbos itself. Now, I was thinking it's interesting that when you, you talk about relationships, if you think about, let's say, in a person that you don't get to see so often, and then you see them, and then at a certain point you have to like part with them and say goodbye. So if you think about it, the most intense, maybe it's kind of obvious, but the most intense moments in a way are when you first see each other and then when you say goodbye. Right? In between, so obviously you're having, that is the relationship, but kind of there's a certain feeling of the relationship itself that comes out when you first meet and also when you part. So we're going to focus on sort of meeting Shabbos and what exactly emerges from our meeting with Shabbos and what that tells us about the nature of the relationship itself. Okay, so there's a really beautiful and brief Gemara in Masechta Shabbos. Aren't that many sources on this. It's more like a lot of sort of thinking. But there's a, so this Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yutes, as it says over here. And very briefly, the Gemara describes two different customs of how two Amoraim would go about greeting Shabbos. Okay, so we'll read it first in the original Aramaic, and then we'll work on the translation a little bit. Okay, so it says, "Rav Chanina me'atef v'koy apanya demale shabbata Omar bo'u v'netze lekrat shabbat hamalka. Rav Yanai lovish ma'ane b'male shabbat v'omar bo'i kala bo'i kala." Okay, so I gave you some of the translation, some blanks. So let's see if we could sort of work it out a little bit. So Rav Chanina me'atef. Rav Chanina would
wrap.
Good. Okay. Wrap himself, right? Like when a man puts on a talis, is lehisatef, you know, b'tzitzit. So that's to wrap himself. Sounds like it's a talis, right? Which is a little bit unusual. You don't necessarily see that on Friday night, people wearing talisim, but that's what it seems to be describing. Okay, v'koy apanya demale shabbosa. So the term male shabbosa usually means erev Shabbos. Okay, like and apanya demale shabbos means right as Shabbos is about to begin. Okay, so like the last moment, kind of like it says twilight. Okay, so what does the word koy mean? So that's also an Aramaic word, which usually means stand. Okay, so he would stand on the eve of Shabbos at twilight. He would say, "Amar, let us." So, what is that? Ba'u v'netze lekrat Shabbat Hamalka. Let's go out. Right. Good. Let us go out and greet the Shabbos Queen. Okay. Then Rav Yanai. Okay. So Rav Yanai wore his special clothing on the eve of Shabbos. Right. It says lavish ma'ane. He wore his special clothing. The Amar, and he would say. So how would you translate this? Right. Yeah, so bo'i kala, right. So enter, you know, the bride should enter, the bride should enter. Okay, so that's, you know, some of this may sound familiar, a little bit, some of these phrases. And that's the whole Gemara. Okay, but let's stay on this page actually for a little while. Don't actually, if you turn the page, it has all the answers. So don't turn the page yet. Okay, so what's interesting is that if we try to analyze this Gemara, well, let me ask you this. What would be your approach to learning this Gemara? We have the Gemara. It tells us about Rav Chanina. It tells us about Rav Yanai. What do you think would be like a next step in trying to maybe go a little bit deeper into this Gemara? What might you do? Sure. When you have two opinions, let's say, right? So one thing you want to try to understand is, number one, what are the two different opinions, right? How are they really different from each other? And then also, why, right? Why do they have these two different opinions? So do these seem to be two different opinions to you? Like, what do you think?
I think they're exclusive to each other.
Okay, maybe sort of just different ways of doing it, but not
necessarily. I thought it was like adding on.
Okay. Okay, so but I think what you'll see is it could be that they don't necessarily disagree with each other. Kind of, maybe they're like each one is focusing on a different aspect. We'll see, but. I think if you look at this carefully, we could find many differences between Rav Chanina and Rav Yanai, how they would greet Shabbos. Okay, so yes.
I was going to say, Rav Chanina says we have to go out and greet Shabbos, and then the other guy says that Shabbos should come to us. Like,
Okay, good. So one difference is excellence. One difference is Rav Chanina says, let's go out, right? Let's go out to greet Shabbos, whereas Rav Yanai invites Shabbos in, right? But we call it, Yes.
I feel like it's both coming from the same thing, which you're saying, like, Shabbos Hashem comes to us, and this is just showing, like, they're just greeting it differently, but I think they're both agreeing on the fact, like, Shabbos is coming to us.
Okay, so...
They're saying that, like, they're just expressing it differently.
Okay, could be. We'll see. All right, so... you're saying maybe that like different stages like of Shabbos, right? Like one is maybe at an earlier stage and Shabbos is coming, and then one's like at a later stage. That's actually very good. That's actually an approach that is taken by somebody called the Maharsha. Okay, the Maharsha basically says something like that. He says that there's really no argument here. It's just different points, you know, at the beginning of Shabbos. So very good. Okay, might take a little bit of a different approach, but very nice. Okay, so what? Believe it or not, over the years I've discovered... Myself, with students, we've discovered at least 9 differences between Rav Yanai and Rav Chanina. Okay, and there's like little short Gemara. Usually a student will try to say one's Rav Chanina and one's Rav Yanai. Their names, that doesn't count.
Okay. So, himself
right, good, so that's 2. Okay, one's wearing more, exactly, one's wrapping in a talus, one's wearing nice clothing. Anything else? Yes.
Queen as opposed to
a okay, great. Rav Chanina refers to Shabbos as a Malka, right? Rav Yanai as a Kala, as a bride. So that's 3. So, what else? They get harder as you go on.
One of them specifies a twilight.
One of them what?
I'm sorry. What are
you going to say?
One specifies as a twilight and one of them doesn't.
Okay, good. So it sort of sounds like, the way I understand this, that Rav Chanina is doing this closer to Shabbos. Whereas Rav Yanai, it's Erev Shabbos, right? Erev Shabbos could be a little bit, could be the whole day. The whole day could be Erev Shabbos, but probably it's not, you know, probably somewhat close to Shabbos. Like, you know, after Plag HaMincha, when you could start accepting Shabbos. But Rav Chanina seems to be like it's really close to Shabbos. So that's 4? We have 4 so far? Yes?
Am I allowed to say one?
Yes?
No, I've heard this before. I've never heard good things, so it's really just like...
You're thinking of it now.
One is saying, talking to the people around him, saying, let's go and greet Shabbos, and the other in
Rav
Yanai is actually speaking to Shabbos.
Right. Excellent. Very good. Right, if you notice, Rav Chanina says, let's go and greet Shabbos. He never actually addresses Shabbos directly. He doesn't say anything to Shabbos. Whereas Rav Yanai says, Boi kalab, enter my bride, enter my, in a sense, enter the bride, right? So he's actually talking to Shabbos in a sense. So that's 5 differences. Okay. Let's see if we can get maybe 3 or 4 more. Like I said, it does get more and more nuanced as you go on. Yes?
Or something with like Rav Chanina standing.
Yes. Okay, very good.
Rav Yanai doesn't say.
Right. So Rav Chanina makes a point of standing, right? Rav Yanai, it sounds like you could stand, you could not stand, doesn't really matter, right? Doesn't specify. Okay, so that's, what are we up to, 6?
About that Rav Chanina makes a point that he's standing versus Rav Yanai doesn't say anything about what if he's standing or sitting or anything like that.
You mean something from before that was said also?
Yeah, about the special clothing.
That Rav Chanina...
Special clothing
as opposed to a talis. Yeah, Rav Chanina, right, the focus of Rav Chanina is that he's wearing a talis. And the focus of Rav Yanai is he's wearing nice clothing, like festive clothing.
I don't know if he said this, but like one's going out to greet it and one's waiting for it to come.
Right, so yeah, somebody did say that. Okay, that's definitely a good one. All right, you said that. Anything else?
One of them was you would do himself.
Very good. Okay, so Rav Chanina is definitely with a group, right? Bo'u v'netzei, let's go out. Rav Yanai, you don't know. I mean, it sort of seems like it's just him, right? He's wearing nice clothing and he says, Boi kala, boi kala. So for all we know, it's just Rav Yanai. Okay, good. So that's 7. Is that right? 7?
Yeah.
Now there's one that, like, one of my students actually found it after like years of like learning this, but so I never even found it, but someone found it. And I'm trying to remember. Oh, okay. One is a little bit more obvious, one is even more subtle. I'll give you a hint. It has to do. Yeah.
I was just going to say, like, with Ralph, I mean, it specifies what type of clothing he wore, but with Rabbi Yonai, it just says, like, general special clothing.
Okay, right, that's true, too. I wasn't thinking of that, but that's interesting. I think the word ma'ane kind of means, the way Rashi explains it, like his clothing, meaning his special clothing. It was kind of saying like his, but you're saying it's not,
it's
so,
not the garment.
It's not what type of garment he wore. Right, okay. I wasn't thinking that.
Does it make a difference, the ma'ale shabbat or the ma'ala? The ma'ale shabbat?
As opposed to?
The ma'ale shabbat.
Right, I don't know. I'm not sure. Could be another one. You would think it should end with an aleph because they're both, you would think they're both Aramaic.
But it's one with the one with the or it doesn't make a difference.
Right, well, the di is because of, I think, the word before, apanya dimale shabbata, because it's, you know, in the twilight of the eve of Shabbos. Something in the last line also is another difference. You notice anything about the last line?
It's
yeah, he repeats it. Okay, Rav Yane says it twice. He didn't have to. He could have just said Bo'i Kala. He says it twice. Rav Chanina also could have said it twice. But he doesn't. He only says it once. So, the repetition. And this last one is the one that I didn't find on my own. It has to do with... Let's see. It has to do with, actually, again, what they call Shabbos. Somebody said, right, queen versus bride. That's true. But if you look more carefully, there's even something more... Something more subtle than that. Right, exactly. Now, as Rav Chanina says, let's go and greet Shabbat the queen, right, or the Shabbat queen. Whereas Rav Yanai says, come in my bride. He could have said, Bo'i Shabbat Kala. And Rav Chanina could have just said, Bo'venetze Likrat Hamalka. For some reason, one of them uses the word Shabbos and one doesn't. Okay, so. I don't think there are too many more differences than that. So if you turn the page, I think I have a list of them. Let's see. Okay, you got them all. Very good. All right, so one is, just quickly, the mode of dress, the posture, standing or not, the timing of it. What's the metaphor they use to describe Shabbos, queen versus bride? What's the method of greeting Shabbos? You go ad versus inviting in. Who participates, right? Is it a whole group? Who are the words directed at? Are other people, you know, talking about Shabbos or to Shabbos itself? How many times do you say it? And does it refer to Shabbos by its usual name of Shabbos or not? Okay. So, they're definitely... So again, you could say that either it's two different phases of Shabbos, or you could say that each one is kind of focusing on a different aspect of Shabbos. You know, whether you want to view this as a real argument or not... You know, that's I guess, unclear. But still, obviously, there's some sort of focus that each one is having here that the other one is not. So, what's the best approach to take to try to figure this out? Like what would be... We have all these different differences. Any like, way to, like, think about this? What would you think? Like, just in terms of a method of thinking. Like, what's... How do you go about, like, trying to figure... I mean, so the question is, why does Rav Yanai do it one way? Why does Chanina do it another way? Right? That's basically the question. So, but how do you like start thinking about that? What do you think? Yeah.
Context is important, like where and when each of them lived.
Okay, that's true. Sometimes you could see things from that, yes.
So maybe both of them at the same time.
I think they live pretty much around the same time. Yeah. Okay. The approach that I'm going to discuss is not, I don't think, is related to that so much, but I guess it could be. One thing that I find usually that works well for me whenever you come to an argument between two people, again, whether you see this as an argument, but some sort of difference, if you want to try to understand it better, is to ask yourself the question, which opinion do I, like, sort of automatically gravitate towards? Like, which opinion do I understand naturally better? And then sort of question yourself and say, well, why do I understand that opinion better? Once you get to that, then you ask yourself, well, this opinion makes so much sense. Why would anybody say something different? And then you think about the other side. All right, so if I asked you, would you sort of naturally gravitate to one of them, to Rav Yanai or Rav Chanina? What would you say? Unless you say, like, you know, I'm totally split. I don't know, but... Rav Yanai, okay. Rav Chanina, okay, interesting. So let's start with Rav Yanai. If you said Rav Yanai, so why... Okay, so there seems to be, like, proof from actually what we do. Talia?
Like, we wear special clothing. We don't wrap ourselves in the talis before Shabbos.
Okay. All right, so Rav Chanina seems to be a little bit foreign to what we actually do. Anybody else said Raviana?
Yeah.
Yes, why?
I do both of the things that Raviana mentions and neither of the things that Rav Chanina mentions.
Okay.
Like, I wear special clothing. Say what we call it. I don't wrap myself in anything. I stand. Actually.
Right, it's interesting, they have different customs, right? Some people stand, some people don't.
I don't know that was a custom. I was just like, oh.
I don't know. I would imagine, but I don't know for sure. Okay, and who said Rav Chanina? Yes, what?
One, because he said let us, and I think we say like Lechadodi and Shulah as like a group. I also think that like we know that Shabbos comes to us. Like, it makes sense that we're going out to greet. Like, it's our guest, Hashem's coming down to us. Like, that's why.
So if it's a guest, you should go greet the guest.
Yes, you should go greet the guest. You shouldn't just come. And I think us going to Shul and singing Lechadodi is us, like, bringing in Shabbos and greeting it and bringing it home as opposed to just letting it come.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it would be wrong just to sit there and wait, but actually go out and greet, do something. Okay.
And I think just, like, with the Talit thing, people usually don't, I don't really know, but, like, I think it just showed a point that we, like to do something different or, like, special.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I hear that. I would say Rav Yana, I think, also is doing something special, right?
No, 100%, because he's saying special clothing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Rav Chanina is like, it stands out more.
Specifying it a little bit.
Right. Okay, so Rav Chanina is definitely something that would like sort of...
How he refers to it as Shabbat, like the Shabbat's queen, not just enter bride.
Right, so what does that show?
I just think it's like showing that he's greeting Shabbat, not just saying enter bride. Like, he's referring to it as what it is.
Mm-hmm. So he's like, okay. So he's like being more specific in general, right? Being more specific about how he describes Shabbos. Okay, did anybody else think Rav Chanina? Yes.
I just think looking at it, I think Rav Yana also, but if you look at all the things that each one of them does, Rav Yana is looking at Shabbos as this personal, personal relationship. This is his relationship with Shabbos, like a very private. That's why it's like he's coming into his home. It's he's getting dressed up. It's not necessarily bringing anybody. It's not going outside, but like she's actually coming into his home. It's like a very personal relationship, as opposed to Shabbos, where it's like a king, a queen.
As opposed to Rav Chanina.
Sorry.
Right.
She's the queen. That what you're supposed to do for a queen. Like a bride, you know, you're welcoming him into the home, and it's very,
it's your bride, exclusively.
It's your bride.
Right.
Like, he doesn't necessarily have to stand. It's like, it's homey. It's
right, okay.
And then, but Chanina is more that she's the queen. Like, you have to go out to greet her. There's respect. There's a certain amount of distance.
Right.
Between the two.
Okay, that's definitely... I think the sort of general approach that we'll take.
Okay.
I get it.
But it's also one difference, like when we're discussing differences, can't we say that that's one really big difference, is that one's viewing it as a private thing and one's viewing it as like a public thing. So we could say now he's doing everything in public, because like when the queen comes, it's all public, everyone's staring, everything you do has to be a certain way. It's very different when you have like a personal relationship and you're doing
right.
Everything private.
Exactly. So I do think that's what it's about. I think like one thing to try to look for is, out of all these differences, to focus in what is the main difference. You know, like, is there one difference that kind of causes all the other differences to happen? You know, so I think what we're maybe I would think most people probably agree that Kala versus Malka is very, very key. Going out versus coming in, probably also very, very key. And everything else kind of somehow, you know, revolves around that. So what is that? So let's just. What is that really about? Okay, Malka versus Kala. I think it is what you know what you're saying a little bit with you. So let's just think about Shabbos for a moment. So let's go back to like the very beginning, right? Shabbos we know is in Yeseros Adibros, right? So we had it last week and back in Yisro, and I'm sure you know, right? What's the difference between the two? Versions of how Shabbos is presented in the two places in the Torah where it appears, Shamor versus Zohar, right? So first it says Zohar, right, and the second one it says Shamor is Yom HaShabbos. So why does it happen in two different ways?
So
So we know what's the difference between Zohar Siyom HaShabbos versus Shomer Siyom HaShabbos?
One's like preparing for Shabbos, like this is just remembering.
Like the translation of the words.
Well, yeah, the translation, and also what does it teach us? Like, what does it tell us? Yeah. What were you gonna say?
I just said like one was like the positive commandments associated with Shabbos, and one's like the negative.
Right. Exactly. So yes. Yeah, so the common explanation is very good that Zachor is the source for the mitzvah of it's the mitzvah Aseh of Shabbos. Right, what is the main mitzvah say of Shabbos? Kiddush. Right, Kiddush Friday night is a mitzvah min haTorah to say Kiddush. And Shamor is another, you know, whenever the Torah uses the word Shamor, Hishamer, Shamor, it always means a lo tase. Right, be careful not to do this. So Shamor at Yom HaShabbat is basically a way of saying there are certain things you're not supposed to do on Shabbos, which refers to, of course, the Lama Temelacha. Right, so there are two different aspects of Shabbos, right? There's the Aseh and there's the Lot Aseh of Shabbos. Okay. Now, let's go a little bit further, okay? A step further. So there's a fascinating Ramban, and it appears on the Aseret HaDibrot, and he talks about what's the difference between Zohar and Shamor, Aseh and Lot Aseh. So the Ramban says it's very interesting principle, and what? Yes, right, Ramban, and it's discussed further by someone named Rav Huttner, Yitzchak Huttner. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of him. Yeah, Huttner.
Yeah, I've heard the name.
You've heard the name. Okay, he was a Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva called Chaim Berlin, and he wrote a sefer called Pachad Yitzchak. So it's like a series. It's about 7 or 8 volumes. It's on the Chagim, and he's a very, very creative. He has a very creative mind. He's not alive anymore, but he had a very, very creative mind. It's not so easy to learn, but when you start learning it, you know, maybe one day you'll open it up, you'll see it. It's like every piece is like an adventure. You don't know where he's going to take you, right? With the way he thinks, the way he asks questions, it's really fascinating. So he also discusses this Ramban. But so this is what the Ramban says. The Ramban says that out of all 613 mitzvos in the Torah, there are really two mitzvos, in a sense, that are the kind of like the underpinning of all the other mitzvos. Right? It's almost like two mitzvos that everything else kind of stands on or flows from. So what are those two mitzvos? So he says, one is the mitzvah of V'yahavta Hashem Elokecha, loving Hashem. And right, so that's one. And the other mitzvah is, could you guess what the other one might be? No. No.
Shabbos.
No.
Kasha.
No. So try to think of like a contrast to loving Hashem.
Yirah.
Right. Okay. Yiras Hashem. So right, Yiras Hashem is the pasuk V'yareisem Hashem Elokecha. Right. There's a mitzvah to fear God. So the Ramban says that those two mitzvos, right, loving Hashem, fearing Hashem. That's really the bait. All other mitzvahs flow from that or are directed towards that. You know, you could say it in different ways. But then he goes further and he says, I have to think about this also, you know, more, but he says that all mitzvahs aseh are more closely associated with, you could probably guess, avas Hashem. And all mitzvahs los aseh are more closely associated with the mitzvahs los, with yiras Hashem. Right, so it sort of explains, like when a person, you know, with Ava, it's more of like, it's expansion of yourself, you want to like act and do things, right? And Yira is kind of like you're staying in place, you're a little bit more, you're scared, you're nervous, you're like less likely to do things. So that's the difference between Yira and Ava, Aseh and Lot Aseh, according to the Ramban. Okay, so now taking it back to Shabbos. If that's true, Shabbos, Zachor is mitzvah, Aseh, right? And Shamor is the mitzvah of Lo Taseh, which means, right, that one of the mitzvahs of Shabbos, the fundamental pillars of Shabbos, is based on Ahavas Hashem, right? Zachor Yom HaShabbos, mitzvah Aseh, Ahavas Hashem. And the other pillar of Shabbos, right, Shamor, is based on Yiras Hashem. So it seems to be saying that Shabbos is this perfect combination, right, of love and fear, this balance. okay, between these two emotions, these two modes of relating to Hashem. Okay, so if I just ask you this question, what do you, could probably guess what the answer would be, but if you had to pick one of those things, Ava versus Yira, for Shabbos, what would you, like, which emotion do you associate Shabbos more with? Could probably guess what I think you would say, but Ava?
No.
Right, okay. Anybody think Yira?
Well,
the don'ts, like, you can't do this.
Because you have to worry about everything.
Right, I mean, if you think about it, there's the potential, there's a potential of Kares, right, of Chi of Misa. I mean, it's pretty serious, right? So there is an element of Yira also, for sure. So there's, right, I guess we don't always focus on that so much. You know, maybe the Yira is more like the context, right? The Lotase is the context, and the Ava is kind of what we sort of really focus on as the essence of it. But they're both definitely there, right? Yira and Ava. So, I think what I would like to suggest is that perhaps that's really the difference between Rav Yana and Rav Chanina. What they're discussing is, it could be that, you know, whenever you have two components that make something up, right, something is made of two different things, it could be they're perfectly balanced, okay, or sometimes it could be that one is the main thing, right, and the other one is sort of supporting it, right, or helping it occur. Right, you understand what I'm saying? In other words, whenever you have two things that make something up, you have to kind of ask, what's the relationship? Is one the ikar, right? Is one the main one, and the other one is supporting it? Or maybe the other one's the ikar, right, and that one's supporting it, or are they perfectly balanced? So perhaps Rav Yana and Rav Chanina are sort of discussing which one is the ikar component of Shabbos. It's true they're both there, but which is the main aspect that we should be focusing on? Now, which one is which? I've heard different answers about this. Which one do you think is... What would you guess? Okay, so right. Right? Everyone agree with that? Rav Chanina is Yira? Right, so I would agree. Why do you say that? Okay, more respect... Right, exactly. So, I think we could if we take.
I know. It might be the opposite because, like, when you love someone, you go out to greet them.
Right.
Like you respect them, you stand up for them.
Right. It sounds like you're more active. You're doing something.
Yeah.
Right. So let's come back and address that. I hear that point, but let's go through. I think sort of in general, so many things point in the other direction. I think let's take a look. So, let's start. Let's see if they explain all of these or certainly most of these differences. Okay. So first of all, Malka, right? So obviously, queen versus bride. Bride is more ahava associated with, right? Hopefully, less yira. And with Malka, right, there's yira, right? There might be some element of ahava for one's queen or king, but it's really yira. Okay, now let's go to standing. That fits in, right? Standing versus not standing. Okay. What about wrapping in a talis versus wearing nice clothing? Sort of also, right? When you think of somebody wrapped in a talis over his head, you know, you think maybe, you know, Shmon Esrei or something, you know, the more and more important the part of that, the more serious davening is, the more, you know, Yom Kippur, you could imagine, you know, people wearing so that's Yira, right? Right, yes, humility, which I think is really part of what Yira is about, right? Realizing that we are kind of nothing compared to Hashem. So, versus Rav Yana, Rav Yana's wearing nice clothing, he's celebrating. So that's more like, it's almost like more expressing the person, right? Wearing nice clothing is an expression of yourself. It's not like, you know, limiting yourself, but it's expressing it. So that's more ahava. Okay, let's see what else. Does this explain anything else? What would you say?
But going out and then hiding it.
Okay, so that's kind of what I think, right, Nava, you were saying. In other words, inviting somebody into your home, that's much more personal, right? That's somebody that you love, and that potentially loves you, will come into your home. But when it comes to a queen, right, just think about a queen. So if a queen is coming to town, right? So the queen is not going to be stopping in people's homes, generally, right? Because the queen doesn't have really a personal relationship with every single person necessarily, but the queen is the queen of everybody, right? The queen elevates everybody just by her presence, in your town, right? The queen is coming, your whole town is like transformed. So just the queen being there elevates everybody. So, but your obligation is to go out and show respect to the queen and greet the queen, right? You better go out and be there, right? For you just to sit in your home and no one be around to greet the queen, that's not a show, that's not a sign of kavod or years. So you have to go out. So I think that also fits into that part. Let's say, what about saying it once versus twice? So there's a general idea, I don't know if you've heard this, that like, when Hashem says, Avraham, Avraham, you know? So it's, right, it's like, it's their achiba. Right, exactly. So perhaps also here, you know, Bawikala, it's again an expression of love. Okay, whereas Chanin just says it once. The fact that Rav Yanai speaks directly to Shabbos, right, versus Rav Chanin who doesn't speak to Shabbos, right, usually when you have Yira of somebody, you're less likely to speak to them face to face, or you know that in some circles when somebody talks to a Rav, have you guys ever heard this?
Yeah.
They always talk in third person, right?
Yeah.
Meaning like some people say, would the Rav like a cup of tea or something, or can the Rav answer this question? As opposed to saying, can you? Right? So in some places it's really disrespectful to say you. To a Rav or a Rebbe. I think in our circles it's a little bit less, whatever the reason. We a little more informal, we say you. But, okay, so here too. So talking about Hashem, let's go out and greet the Shabbos, but not actually talking to Shabbos, again, is a sign of more Yira, right? The fear. Versus Rav Yanai, who's much closer. And what, did we leave anything out?
Yeah, one speaking to people and saying, come.
Ah. By himself, meaning right. So in other words, again, when you're by yourself, that's also more personal. Right? It's like a personalized Shabbos just for you. Whereas Rav Chanin is, as a group, we're going to greet Shabbos. I think we got just about everything.
The timing.
Good. So we didn't talk about that one. What do you think? Can we explain the timing with this? A little more difficult, maybe? Like punctual, right? Interesting.
Right, I was going to say, it's not necessarily the fact that it's closer, it's about more just the fact that it mentions a specific time.
Okay, good. What were you going
to
say?
I was going to say, Rav Yanai seems to be doing it earlier, so if it's more personal, it's
you want to start it.
Excited about it, you want it to come ready.
Right, right. If you're and if you're afraid, right, you last minute.
Hold it up
to last right.
minute. He calls it, Shabbos Queen, which is making it more formal.
Probably.
Like the queen of, it's giving a title. As opposed to him just bride.
Okay, very nice. Wait, in other words, Shabbos.
Because we said how, by Shabbat queen, he uses the word Shabbos, and the other one doesn't, because I think that's just more formal. You say Queen Elizabeth of.
Mm-hmm.
Or
interesting.
Instead of just saying.
I mean, it would be wrong to just say, queen.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, very nice.
To, her specialness, that adds to the fear of, you're saying the queen of whatever, and backs her up. But,
right, the queen of what? Right, queen. Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah,
and he's the president, meaning you're in America, but he's the president of Israel. We're talking about someone else. It's a little bit more foreign.
Right, meaning what? It would be disrespectful.
If you're going to say Shabbat Hamaka, it's more of defining which queen, because it's a little bit farther away. I don't want to say farther away, but a little bit more one step removed, as opposed to saying, my queen, or my bride, the one that just
Right, so you don't have to necessarily specify because it's already kind of evident. Okay, great, very nice. So I think it's sort of right. It does kind of fit into all the differences. So which would basically we'd be saying that Rav Yanai is saying the main part of Shabbos is really enhancing our Ahavas Hashem, right? Feeling this closeness with Hashem on Shabbos. Of course, the year aspect is important. Like I said, that's more like the frame. Right, that allows us to focus on Ahavas Hashem. So we're not distracted.
That just be a lower level of keeping Shabbos.
Why?
Because we said that there's two things, there's two relationships with Hashem. So we speak about others having fear, and which one's higher? You're on a higher level if you fear God. So if He's going and approaching Shabbos in a way of loving God, it does sound really nice on the outside, but it's kind of just showing a lower level of Shabbos.
Okay, it's interesting. So your assumption is that fearing Hashem is a higher level than loving Hashem?
Yeah.
So
it's not necessary. It's really the other way, but I'm saying, whatever. Either way, one of them, I feel like, is showing Shabbos in a lower level. So if you want to say loving Hashem is
a higher level, than the other one is,
then you're saying Rav Hanina is like doing Shabbos the fullest on a higher level, and Rav Yana is like doing it more out of fear. It's not like you need to,
right?
And
you need to like love Shabbos or Hashem in order to be able to fear and respect him, kind of thing.
It goes both ways.
And they go hand. They sort of do go hand in hand. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Right. I think to say that one is observing Shabbos on a lower level, I might say that no.
It's different.
Right. I think it's different. If Rav Hanina feels that is what Shabbos is about, right, so then he's not doing it on a lower level. That, to him, that is Shabbos. Understand? For Rav Hanina, Shabbos is about, really like enhancing our Yiras Hashem. Just appreciating Hashem on a higher level. Again, there is Ahava too, but the grandeur of Hashem, right? The how in all we are of Hashem. So I think that seems to be the focus of Rav Hanina. Okay, I'll just sort of one last thing, and then maybe we'll finish with that, which is that I think an interesting question Rav Yana and Rav Hanina might be referring to, which is kind of related to this, is how much of an active role, right, do we take in Shabbos? Right? In other words, how active are we in keeping Shabbos and observing Shabbos and creating the Kedusha of Shabbos? I don't know if you know, there's a famous difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov.
Yeah.
Right? Good. So that's one. Where...
Also Simcha.
Very good. Yom Tov has Simcha. Okay, Shabbos not necessarily. Okay, and... but if you ever notice, maybe you learned this before.
Shabbos, you can't really cook and do all
yes.
The things you can do on Yom Tov.
Right. Right. So that's like another, also a very interesting topic. Okay, right. Could be that, like, that's another whole topic, Shabbos versus Yom Tov. But I was just going to say that if you think about the bracha that you end, it's called Kedusha Sayom, right? The main bracha you say for Yom Tov.
Because we chose
Kadyom
because we did the calendar.
Right. Good. So in other words, on Yom Tov you say, good, Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh Yisrael V'Hazmanim. Mm-hmm. Right? On Shabbos you say, Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh HaShabbat. You don't mention Yisrael. Right? Because, right, so the Gemara says, Shabbos was from Bereshis. Right? It's not the Yisrael that make the Shabbos. Shabbos is always there. But Yom Tov is dependent on the Jewish people. We create, we determine when Rosh Chodesh is. Right, and as a result, that's when Yom Tov is. So that's created by the Jewish people. So from that, it would sort of seem that we're somewhat passive, right? No, Shabbos comes, right? And it's our responsibility to recognize that Kedusha. That's a little more passive.
At the same time, we're doing stuff to prepare for Shabbos.
Right.
Like, we're wearing the nice clothes. We're, buying nice things for
right,
Shabbos.
Exactly. Right, so there's definitely an active element to it. And I would say that if you think about it, there's one place where you really see a part where we are partners in creating the Kiddush of Shabbos. First of all, we say Kiddush.
They're
right?
Saying Tefillah.
Right, we're doing things. Doing things. We're not just sitting there. Right. Right. But I was going to say, there's also an idea that's called, we always start, there's something called Tosefes Shabbos, right? Tosefes Shabbos means that you're supposed to try to start Shabbos a little bit early, right? To add on to Shabbos. Right? You know that concept, Tosefes Shabbos? So, it actually, you could, in other words, it's interesting, right? Starting with Plag HaMincha, which is about an hour and 15 minutes before, nightfall. So, you could actually make it Shabbos, even though it's not. It's still, in a sense, it's still Friday, but you could say, make early Shabbos. Mm-hmm. Right? That is Shabbos. Okay, you don't get all Shabbos, meaning you would be Chayav Misa if you did a Malacha at that point. But it is Shabbos for various things. Okay, yes?
Is that why people keep repeating Tov, or that's not really the first idea?
Right, no, that's more just like, when is sunset, exactly. I mean, when is considered like Tesa Kochavim, exactly, yeah. So I think that shows that we have the ability to actually create Kedusha, right? We could create part of Shabbos. So I think that also might be some of the issue with Hanina or Viana. Viana is saying, we are partners, creating this Kedusha of Shabbos. It's Shabbos and us, or us with Hashem together, create this day. Rav Hanina, it's more, you know, it's more Hashem. We're kind of, again, we're witnessing it, we're observing it, but it's really Hashem doing it. That might also explain with Vianai the metaphor of the bride, right? The bride is, so that means we're the husband, right? So in a sense, right? So that's partnership. You need both to do it. With a queen, yeah, you're the subjects, but that's much less, right? That's much less active. And exactly, good. Rav Yana is doing it early. Why? Because you could start Shabbos early, right? Exactly. You could create the Kedusha Shabbos whenever you want, but you know, closer to Shabbos. Rav Chanina is like, at the moment that Shabbos starts, that's when it starts. I think also it might explain the name, right? Because Rav Chanina says, Bo v'neitzei likrat Shabbat Hamalka. Rav Yana calls it Kala. I would almost say that maybe what Rav Yana is saying is that Shabbos becomes Shabbos after it is connected to the Jewish people. Right? It's not Shabbos yet. So it's Kala. It's the Kala aspect of Shabbos. But it's really Shabbos in its full sense when it unites with the Chatan, which is us. So he can't yet call it Shabbos. It's not really Shabbos yet. Whereas according to Rav Chanina, Shabbos is by itself. It doesn't really need us, in a sense. So that's why it's already Shabbos. And just really to end, getting late. Okay, so really to end, if we just look at Lecha Dodi very quickly, let's just tie this into the famous song, right, to greet Shabbos. It's on page 2. So I'll go through this fast because it's late. So the box in the middle, the reason why it's boxed in the middle is because if you ever focus on the Chadodi, you'll notice that it's a little bit unusual or odd to think about why this is, but the only parts that actually talk about Shabbos is the first two paragraphs and the last paragraph. Everything else doesn't talk about Shabbos. Try to think about like what it does talk about, but it doesn't talk about Shabbos, at least directly. Okay, so let's just focus for a second on the first two and the last one. Okay, let's try to see, do we follow Rav Chanina or Rav Yanai? So let's go to the first one. Shamor v'zachor b'dibur echad. Right? First of all, it's showing that they sort of go together, right? You can't separate one from the other. Fine. Next. Lekrat Shabbat lechu v'nelcha. What does that sound like? Rav Chanina or Rav Yanai? Rav Chanina, right? V'nel, together, let's go. He doesn't say neitzei, but he says, let's go to greet Shabbos. Right? Ki mekor ha-bracha. Meirosh mikedem nisucha. You know where the word nisucha is related to? Anointing a king, right? So again, you see the royal element of Shabbos there. Okay, then go to let's go to the last paragraph. Okay, Bowie b'shalom ateret ba'ala. So Bowie, right? Come in. That's Rav Yanai, and the crown of her husband. It says the word ateret, but like the glory of her husband. That means the kala. Okay, gam simcha uvit sahala. Right, so it's more simcha. And then it ends, of course, Bo'i Chala, Bo'i Chala. It's exactly what Rav Yanai says. So what you see is that in the end, it is a kind of a combination. I do think that, you know, according to most Mefarshim, most, you know, Jewish thinkers, that actually Avas Hashem is a higher level than Yiras Hashem. You need Yiras Hashem to get to Avas Hashem, otherwise you're not loving Hashem in the right way, right? You need to first appreciate what Hashem is, the distance, and then you could have Ava, but Ava is really higher. So when Shabbos is starting, okay, this is how I think we see it, as Shabbos is beginning, there's more of a sense of Yira, right? Shabbos is just starting, you know, the queen is coming to town, we're nervous, right? We feel different, we feel elevated, but we're a little bit scared, right? Shabbos is here. As things develop, right, Shabbos eventually it becomes a relationship of Ava. It's almost like the queen is here, and then all of a sudden the queen becomes your bride. Right? That queen that was there, oh my goodness, all of a sudden I'm now the chatan of that queen. Right? And that's how the progression of Lecha Dodi, right? We get to the highest level at the end, where we are participating in the Kedusha of Shabbos, where we have tremendous Ava Hashem, and that's, I think, the conclusion of Lecha Dodi. Okay.
Thank you so much for
having me. Sure. Thank you guys for coming.
Thank you. Really coming. Thank you.
Okay. Much better than being in the library by myself and just wondering where everybody was.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
Last question.
Yes.
It says OUD.
keep those elements as like making team, like.